This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
To a school of your choice, and you get to have it as a great gift for Christmas. Let's keep those phone lines running. 1-800-735-0230. And thank you all for listening.
Not had a chance to call? Be a part of the Pacifica Radio Archives Campus Campaign 2.0. Donate once and give twice. When you contribute to the archives today, we'll send a compilation of historic recordings from our archives to a school or college of your choice. Civil rights, U.S. history, arts and literature, the environment, Malcolm X, Noam Chomsky, Studs Terkel, Latino-Chicano studies, Native American studies, LGBT studies, you name it, the Pacifica Radio Archives is here for you. 1-800-735-0230. You're helping to put history into the hands of the future. Our phone volunteers are waiting to hear from you right now at 1-800-735-0230 or donate online by going to supportpra.org. Thank you for supporting the Pacifica Radio Archives Campus Campaign 2.0.
Okay, now it's time for some live radio. It's 1 minute after midnight here in New York City on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. And that means that ostensibly it's time for this. Moorish. Orthodox. Radio. Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Thank you.
All right, a rather abrupt ending there. This is a real historical relic. That was sounds of the famous, legendary Plastic People of the Universe, one of the only two cuts that I have by them, and I think it's incomplete. I think, in fact, that it cuts off mid-song there. You know, now their music is actually available on the Internet, and I should have done my homework and gotten some more of their music. These are the only two cuts that I have of them, which were, I believe, provided to this radio show many years ago by our friend and colleague Dave Mandel of WFMU. We'll play the other cut a little bit later. Of course, we're playing the Plastic People of the Universe tonight because we're going to continue with our Czech theme from last week, as well as our 20th anniversary theme from last week. When we were on last week, it was the 20th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down. And, of course, today is the 20th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution. There's been a lot in the news about this. And once more, I'm going to be talking about the potential, and I would not say potential, I would say the very real and very obvious, for those who actually care to look at the facts, dark side of what is once again being sort of uniformly celebrated as a unequivocal victory for human freedom. And like I say, you know, back 20 years ago, I was as euphoric and as optimistic as anybody else to see the East Bloc dictatorships come tumbling down one domino after another. But I believe that, you know, from our perspective 20 years later, the tone of triumphalism is inappropriate for reasons which I will explain further. There I need to, elaborate on some of what I was talking about last week. We're going to take phone calls tonight, because a lot of people tried to call in last week, and I just decided I didn't want to take phone calls, and instead I gave my voicemail number, and a lot of people did, in fact, leave messages. And some of them were very positive messages. And, in fact, one person said that he was going to pledge to WBAI. He was going to actually make a donation to WBAI just because I had cut off some phone callers who he didn't like, and I didn't like them either, which is why I cut them off. Because I don't believe in indulging hate speech or suffering fools gladly. All of you people who are dogmatic about my supposed responsibility to take phone calls, well, there is a large chunk of the listenership which disagrees with you and feels that, on the contrary, I should not waste my time with phone calls. But tonight, I'm going to. Hopefully, it won't be a waste of time. Tonight, I'm going to take phone calls because I believe that some things need to be aired. And, in fact, I'm even going to attempt, if I can get the technology to say uncle, I am even going to attempt to actually play some of the messages which were left on my voicemail over the air so I can answer some of the nonsense. I'm not going to play the positive messages. I'm going to play the negative messages because, once again, I don't believe in suffering fools gladly. And malarkey needs to be slapped down. That's why I'm on the air, also to play good music. So let's start by talking about the music, and then we'll get back to the negativity trip later. People may have noticed that the Plastic People of the Universe were actually in the New York Times on November 16th, Czech's Velvet Revolution paved by plastic people. It charted the whole history, how they were sort of the house band of the Prague Spring back in 1968. And then they were imprisoned in 1976. Some of their members were, or actually that was, I'm sorry, it was, that was their biggest fan, Vaclav Havel, who was imprisoned in 1976. Forgive me. But in fact, they were persecuted, and they were sort of forced underground, and their music was banned, etc. And then they sort of re-emerged with the Velvet Revolution in 1989. And of course, you know, I mean, a part of the
What makes the whole thing so difficult for true lovers of freedom, you know, I would argue, is that, you know, I mean, Vaclav Havel, who was, as the New York Times calls him, the music-loving former Czech president and dissident who championed the band's cause, when several members of the band were imprisoned in 1976 for disturbing the peace. Yes, the band members were actually imprisoned in 1976 for being musicians. And, you know, they were playing this, as you just heard at the opening, this very sort of experimental, psychedelic dirge rock, which, you know, took a tip from the Velvet Underground and Frank Zappa, and which the Stalinist authorities didn't like very much after the Soviet invasion of 1968, and when the democratic opening in Czechoslovakia was put down by force of arms. So, you know, I mean, we sort of had this feeling that, you know, Vaclav Havel was, you know, one of us in a certain sense. You know, I mean, he was a bohemian and, kind of a, you know, a hippie. You know, he got into the Plastic People of the Universe and a courageous dissident. And now he's a supporter of the missiles which the United States wants to station in the Czech Republic, which I'm not very happy about, to say the least. So this is a part of, you know, my disillusionment. The, of course, the Times doesn't mention such contradictions, doesn't even acknowledge that it is a contradiction. They do, I'm glad to see, close with a... with some lyrics from the Plastic People of the Universe back from late 1960s, translated from the Czech. They are afraid of old people for their memories. They are afraid of young people for their innocence. They are afraid of typewriters. So why are we afraid of them? Very courageous lyrics for the time and place. And I would argue that with the exception of one word, namely typewriters, somewhat appropriate lyrics for the current day as well. Now they're more afraid of computers than typewriters. But apart from that, somewhat appropriate lyrics for the current day. Okay, so the gist of... a lot of the phone calls, which were taking issue with my paranoia, were, I mean, essentially, you know, baiting me as a paranoid Jew, I would argue. And I plead guilty. I am a paranoid Jew. And, you know, what William Burroughs said, that a paranoid is someone who's got all the facts. And I argue that a far more dangerous illusion than paranoia is pro-noia, which is the illusion that people aren't out to get you. This is much, much more dangerous than paranoia. So, and also people took issue with me, part and parcel of this criticism, for making much of the dates. I mean, I went on and on about how November 9th, which was the date that the Berlin Wall came down in 1989, was also the date of Kristallnacht in 1938. And I noted the fact that the Central Synagogue in the city of Dresden in the former East Germany was painted with swastikas, big swastikas. Okay, we're not talking little doodles here. We're talking big, like, you know, 6 feet high swastikas. On the eve of Kristallnacht this year, on the eve of the anniversary of Kristallnacht, that is to say, the evening of November 8th of this year. And people were saying that, you know, I was making much ado about nothing, and that particularly the whole, you know, coincidence of the dates is just a coincidence. Well, I'll have more to say about that later. But I will also note, meanwhile, that because nobody else is noting it, that... the November 17th, which was today, Tuesday. If you're like me and you believe that still is today, if you're like me and you believe that the new day begins at dawn rather than midnight, it still is the night of November 17th. In addition to that being the day that the Velvet Revolution began in 1989, was also what they call International Students' Day, which despite its name is really only celebrated in the Czech Republic. I suppose certain student groups and so on may make note of it elsewhere around the world, but despite being officially International Students' Day, it's really only celebrated in the Czech Republic, and the reason for that is because it commemorates, once again, November 17th, 1939, as opposed to something that happened in November 1938, something that happened in November 1939, which was a few months into the Nazi occupation of Czechoslovakia. And I will note, as by way of an aside, that the Nazis dismantled Czechoslovakia so that it conformed to precisely the same borders that it has today. They broke off Slovakia and turned it into a ostensibly independent country, although actually a Nazi satellite, but with its own officially sovereign government, backed up by Nazi firepower. And they turned what is now the Czech Republic into the protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, which was actually occupied, directly occupied by the Nazis. But the same borders which exist today. So, okay, well, maybe that means something, maybe it doesn't. But certainly it must mean something, okay? Certainly, at a minimum, the Nazis shrewdly exploited the desire of the Slovaks, or some Slovaks, Slovak nationalists, for an independent state. At a minimum, it means that. Although, as we noted last week, by 1944, the Slovaks themselves got tired of having German troops on their territory and had a national uprising, to their credit. Anyway, I digress. On November 17th, 1939, which was about 6 months into the Nazi occupation of the protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, there were anti-occupation protests at the campus of Prague University, which were brutally put down by Nazi troops. And nine students were summarily executed on the spot that very same day. And, you know, no trial, no anything, not even any pretense of legality. Just summarily executed by German soldiers on the spot. And in subsequent days, in the kind of massive reprisals which the Nazis carried out against the civil population in response to any sign of resistance, hundreds of students, over 1,000 students, were rounded up and interned in concentration camps in the weeks after the protest. And all of the campuses across the country were closed. So that was November 17th, 1939, the same day that the Velvet Revolution would begin in 1989. And interestingly, the protest had actually been sparked by repression which had taken place a few days earlier, a few weeks earlier, October 28th, where there had been protests on campus in order to commemorate the anniversary of the independence of the Czechoslovak Republic from the Austro-Hungarian Empire in the aftermath of the First World War, 1918. October 28th being Czech Independence Day. And so there had been protests against the occupation on campus that day in which a student leader was killed. And it was in response to that that the protest continued. Student leader by the name of Jan Apletal, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, was killed on October 28th, and then the protest continued until finally, you know, and there was an actual, you know, occupation of the campus and so on, until finally it was brutally put down by, Nazi stormtroopers, who, as I say, summarily executed 9 students on the spot and subsequently rounded up several thousand into the concentration camps. So, again, this raises the question of, I spoke about the emergence of whole Nazi nostalgia tendency in the contemporary Czech Republic, and it raises the question of, you know, however much the contemporary, ultra-right in the Czech Republic, however much they may hate Roma, and that is to say gypsies, and immigrants, and Jews, etc., why do they emulate the Nazis, who dismantled and humiliated their country? That I really don't get. It's kind of got me stumped, you know? And they apparently consider themselves to be Czech nationalists, from a really ugly xenophobic ultra-right standpoint. So why do they, you know, emulate the people who dismantled Czechoslovakia and humiliated their country and took massive reprisals against the civilian populace? Don't get it. So once again, we're going to take phone calls later at 212-209-2900. And if there's any Czech neo-Nazis who are listening tonight, please do call in and explain to me what the hell you guys are thinking, because I'm frankly stumped. Don't get it. All right. Now, I should also provide a little bit more context for what I'd been saying last week, because I could understand, having not completely fleshed out my arguments, how some people could accuse me of alarmism. I talked about the fact that there were two elite troops from the Special Forces Brigade of the Czech Army who were serving in Afghanistan, who after finishing their tour of duty, they were actually decorated for having done an exemplary job, blah, 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 when they got back home to the Czech Republic. And then, lo and behold, it emerged in the press that they had been wearing the insignia of Nazi SS divisions on their helmets throughout the entire tour of duty when they were in Afghanistan. Once again, I was accused of making too much of this by some listeners who left messages on my voicemail. And I should flesh out the argument a little bit more by providing some facts which are extremely salient, which I failed to provide last week. And that is that there was just in recent weeks there have been massive roundups of an apparent what the authorities in the Czech Republic are calling a neo-Nazi terror cell belonging to an underground organization called White Justice. And several of them are facing charges, although mysteriously they're out on bail. They aren't actually being held, even though they're facing charges of preparing terrorist attacks and preparing the abductions of police officers and, quote, highly positioned Jews, end quote, in the Czech Republic. Had apparently been maintaining paramilitary training camps in the countryside in the Czech Republic. And here is the here is the rub, is that apparently these paramilitary training camps had been overseen by a Czech military officer by the name of Lukas Sedlčak, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Sedlčak. who apparently was a co-founder of this organization called White Justice, and is believed by the authorities now to have overseen training at their paramilitary camps while he was active duty in the Czech Armed Forces. Now he's going to be suspended. Thank you very much from active duty in the Czech Army. But he was an officer. Not quite sure what his rank is. But an officer, not merely, an enlisted man. So I would consider this ominous. And what I would consider even more ominous is how little coverage this has gotten. To the best of my knowledge, this has only received English language coverage in two publications. One is my own website, worldwar4report.com. That's Arabic numeral 4. Just go to www.4report.com. And the other is my own source, which I essentially did, a rewrite of their coverage, which is Romea, which is a publication based in Prague, which, as the name implies, is generally concerned with issues which are of interest to the Roma population or Gypsy population of the Czech Republic and Slovakia and Central and Eastern Europe generally. And it should be noted that, this publication is, they're kind of trilingual. They run coverage for the most part in Czech, but also with some items in the Roma language and in English. They translate some of their stories into English. And I picked up my account from their English language coverage. So to the best of my knowledge, only two publications anywhere in the English language world have covered this. It should also be noted that there have been many attacks in recent years, arson attacks and so on the homes of Roma by these white justice types. They aren't just, there's reason to believe that this isn't just talk, okay? They've actually, in fact, have carried out attacks. And, the reason that it's kind of like, I shouldn't say it's news, because it isn't news in this country. And I'm going to talk in a minute about why it's not news. But, finally they did, there's actually a crackdown going on, and something like 10 of these white justice creeps are now facing trial. Although, as I note once again, they're out on bail; they're not even behind bars, but they are facing charges. Is because apparently they planned, to carry out quote unquote terrorist attacks and abductions of police and highly positioned Jews, as opposed to merely torching the homes of Roma, who nobody cares about. So, I'm not sure that anybody has been brought on trial for that yet. So, and that's been going on. There's been a few such instances in recent months of that happening, both in the Czech Republic and Slovakia and Hungary by these neo-Nazi types. So, once again, nothing to sneeze at. I'd say this is a very significant threat. And once again, you take, if you just look in isolation at the fact that that these two clowns were wearing the insignia of Nazi SS divisions on their helmets while they were serving in Afghanistan, well, maybe it's no big deal. But if you look at it in the context of an officer from the Czech military providing paramilitary training to neo-Nazis, it looks a little bit more ominous, doesn't it? And then if you, look, moving over to Germany, if you look at, 6-foot swastikas being painted on the side of the Dresden synagogue on the eve of the anniversary of Kristallnacht, it begins to look a little bit more ominous. Like maybe this isn't just, isolated incidents. Maybe there's a pattern here, which is a little bit, disturbing. Okay. It's 12:30 in the morning. I'm just getting into my rant. We're going to take listener phone calls tonight, for better or worse, 212-209-2900. My name is Bill Weinberg. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. And, I'm going to talk a little bit about why this isn't news. Why it isn't news that apparently neo-Nazis have been planning terrorist attacks in the Czech Republic and are on trial for it. Why is this not news? Okay, somebody's trying to call in. We're going to take phone calls optimistically in around 15 or 20 minutes, so don't try to call in now. Hang up and call back in 15 or 20 minutes. 212-209-2900. Not now. Not taking phone calls now because I'm not done with my rant. So you can hang up. Okay? Thank you. So why is this not news? Why is it not news either by the much maligned MSM, mainstream media, and likewise not news in, the alternative media or the left media or whatever it is that you want to call it? Well, I'm going to put forth a thesis as to why this is, because it doesn't fit into the worldview or the paradigm or the narrative, as the postmodernists call it, of either the MSM or the alternative media. Okay, let's first talk about the MSM. Why doesn't it fit into their worldview? Okay, because they aren't Muslims. All right, now stop and think about this. Okay, imagine that if instead of, you know, I can't remember the exact figure, I believe it's in the area of 10. Instead of 10 neo-Nazis being on trial in the Czech Republic for planning terrorist attacks, and particularly, targeting Jews, instead of it being neo-Nazis, it was radical Muslims. I believe that that would be making headlines here in New York City and the United States and the West. It would be very, very difficult to imagine that it wouldn't be making headlines and that all of the, terror war hardliners like Friedman at the Times and so on, would be, they wouldn't be pontificating about it. And, you know, Fox News would just be having a field day with it. Right? Can we all agree on that? Okay. I thought so. But here's the part that you're not going to want to hear, okay, which is that it doesn't fit into the worldview or the storyline or what have you of the alternative media either, which is why I don't believe you've heard about it on BAI before, have you? Forgive me if I'm wrong. Forgive me if I do listen to the BAI news pretty regularly, and I've been waking up earlier, so I've even been catching some of Democracy Now! From time to time. In recent weeks, but I haven't heard anything about it on BAI. Forgive me if I've missed it. But I would argue that this doesn't fit into the worldview of the alternative media either, which is that, as was pretty much explicitly stated by some of the callers, which I took last week, and also pretty explicitly stated by some of the callers, which maybe we'll hear later if I can get the technology to say uncle, who left messages on my voicemail. Their worldview is that, and increasingly the unspoken worldview of the left, quote unquote, the left, because I would argue that this is actually a right wing point of view, not a left wing point of view, but it's been adopted by what considers itself to be the left here in the West, is that anti-Semitism doesn't really exist, and that it's entirely a creation of Zionist propagandists to create a smokescreen for Israel's crimes of aggression against Palestine. And that any invocation of anti-Semitism can't be anything other than a propaganda charade on the part of Israel and its apologists. And the situation is actually, it's gotten worse in this regard, where it used to be only, verboten to talk about, on the left, to talk about anti-Semitism on the left. But apparently now, even anti-Semitism on the right, when it's coming from actual neo-Nazis, is also invisible. And, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, I started talking about this last week, and immediately the board was flooded with phone calls. Everybody in the world was calling in to try to talk about this. And I gave out my – I felt like playing music last week rather than taking phone calls. Now, against my better judgment, simply because there was such a huge listener response, we're going to take phone calls. Assuming people call in. If you don't call in, that's fine. But I'm assuming people will. Once again, also got all of these messages on my voicemail because I didn't want to take phone calls, so I gave my voicemail number and got all these messages on my voicemail about it as well. Overwhelming response. And isn't it interesting that any time, I touch on any issue which concerns the Jews, I get this huge, overwhelming response. Now, I do programming about a lot of different things on this radio show, right? And by way of comparison, when I got back from South America now about 2 months ago, I did two shows on the indigenous struggle in Peru, which is a movement which I consider to be extremely inspiring, extremely important, and one which has gotten shamefully little media coverage, including from the alternative media or from the left media. And they are, you know, really on the cutting edge of resisting the whole, free trade agenda or Washington consensus agenda for the Western Hemisphere and of defending the Amazon rainforest. And I have made some incredibly inspiring victories at a great cost in human lives. They have their martyrs. And I did, two shows about this. And how much response did I get? Okay, I got one favorable response from a fellow producer here at WBAI, from Ibrahim Gonzalez, who actually called in while I was on the air and while I was playing an interview gave me some strokes, gave me some kudos, told me that he appreciated the work and actually invited me on to talk about it on Wake Up Call, where he was filling in for Mario Murillo. So I appreciate that. But still, that was the only response I got, positive or negative. Okay, positive or negative. The only response I got from those two shows, and not even from a, quote-unquote listener, but from a fellow producer who was also listening, so that makes him a listener, but not a listener in the narrow sense, but a fellow producer here at WBAI. So, I would have been, if I had gotten, a serious reaction, I would have been very, very happy to, keep on talking, because there's much more that needs to be said about the indigenous struggle in Peru. And in fact, in December, I'm going to be going out to the San Francisco Bay Area to give a presentation about the indigenous struggle in Peru. So, this is an issue which is very close to my heart, of great concern to me, the survival of indigenous cultures against the ongoing assault of industrialism. But the response that I get from the listeners is nil. I mean, the basic consensus is, yes, we support the Indians who are struggling in South America, but in a very perfunctory and lukewarm kind of way. Next. That seems to be the response, okay? I'm depending on who you ask, I'm either Jewish or not. if you ask me, the Orthodox rabbis, I am not. I am not halakhically Jewish, so to speak. I consider myself to be partially Jewish, ethnically, at least, and I'm certainly Jewish enough for lots of anti-Semites who sniff me out, it seems. But as far as I'm concerned, I've got a legitimate, right to defend my enlightened self-interest as somebody of Jewish ancestry, just as every ethnic group does. And But that isn't even, you know, it primarily isn't even, you know, a sense of enlightened self-interest, which motivates me to, you know, talk about these questions. I consider, I don't have a special fixation, contrary to what many of my listeners might think, about the issues of concern to Jews. I consider, you know, Jews to be one more ethnicity or one more group of ethnicities, because there are several Jewish ethnicities, who are entitled to security and dignity, you know, just like all of the other ethnicities which we talk about on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, just like the Harakmut and the Machigenga and the Asharinka in Peru, just like the Berbers in North Africa, just like the Palestinians. So, but yet, once again, it's when I touch on anything which is of concern to the Jewish question that I get this vociferous response from the listeners. And it just makes me wonder, why is that, as KRS-One so eloquently put it? Did you ever ask yourself, why is that? So that's one of the questions which I'm putting to the listeners tonight. Why is that? And, I'm very gratified to see that nobody's calling in. So maybe either I've chastised you all, my paranoia is in fact misplaced after all. But you know what I'm going to do? We're going to play a little bit more Plastic People of the Universe, and then we're going to see if I can get the technology to say uncle and actually play some of the messages which were left on my voicemail after last week's broadcast. Don't worry, those of you who identified yourself on the air, I'm not going to play that part. Don't worry, nobody's cover is going to be blown. So don't worry about that. It is, an interesting question that, okay, one person's trying to call. As I say, or the countdown is now around 5 to 10 minutes. We'll take some listener phone calls on these questions, since all of you feel the need to weigh in, quite evidently, at 212-209-2900. But I just want to be clear, you know, at risk of, you know, intimidating all of you from calling in, and also probably you have the sense that I'm not going to suffer any fools gladly, and boy, oh boy, are you right about that. But I just want to be clear for, you know, all of you people who called in, and the board was just absolutely lit up last week, okay? I want to be clear. I'm not the one who's got an obsession with the Jews. You all, you people, yeah, I'm talking to you, all of you people who tried to call in, all you folks out there who tried to call in last week and left messages on my voicemail, okay? I'm talking to you. Y-O-U, you. You're the ones who have an obsession with the Jews, not me. Just want to make that absolutely clear. Okay, let's see if we can... let's hear a little bit more Plastic People of the Universe, and then I'll see if I can, in fact, get the technology to roll over and say, Uncle, here, let's... hear some more of this while I see if I can get Max in here to help me with the technology. All right, we're trying to make this happen. Is it in fact happening?
Nope.
Oh, right. We do appear to be hearing a dial tone.
Well, it didn't work. I think it was going to work.
Right. So we've given up.
Well, you can try it again, but you know, at some point you're going to have to go through the five steps of putting a call on the air while it's playing already.
I'm not quite sure I understand that. Five steps.
Well, you've got to make it play. You've got to put it on hold. You've got to hang up the phone.
Sounds like it's more trouble than it's worth.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, how do I hang up? Just do that. It's already hung up. So how do I get a dial tone? Oh, there we go.
Lessons in radio while you talk.
Let's go back to the plastic people of the universe. Meanwhile, plastic people. Where are the plastic people? Are we being broadcast? Appears not.
No.
No. Never mind. This is not working, quite evidently. What a shame.
Well, there's one other way to do it.
Well, should I play that Plastic People of the Universe cut one more time? And the only one I've got.
You have two.
That's true. It's the only two that I've got. But they're both really short. Is this? All right. Oh, there we go. All right. Let's play that a little bit more Plastic People of the Universe. Oh, that's actually the Psychedelic Furs here.
Nothing wrong with that.
What is this? Oh, yeah, right. This was a big hit exactly 20 years ago. Remember this one?
Be saved. Next saved message.
Hi, Bill. This is George Kofensis. I hope.
No. Sorry, George. That actually had nothing to do with anything. Hang on.
Yeah, hello. You gave out your number for this voicemail last night on the radio.
Saved. Next saved message.
Hi, Bill. Regarding the coincidence of...
Here we go.
Fall of the Berlin Wall and Kristallnacht. You know, history is stuffed with thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of significant events that occurred on different days of the year. There are only 365 days in the year, so hundreds, if not thousands, of significant events are going to occur on every day of the year. And so, simply noticing coincidence of two days is not enough to float the idea that there's some sort of significance to the fall of the Berlin Wall and Kristallnacht, like some sort of neo-Nazi plot to send a message. You actually have to go and find historical facts to back that up, instead of doing what the conspiracy theorists, the 9/11 conspiracy theorists do, raise the question without any evidence. And that's what you were doing. If you want to, by evidence I mean, you know, find facts about who decided when the day should occur. Were they confirmed Nazis? There were East Germans, West Germans, Soviets involved in deciding when the wall would fall. Were they all neo-Nazis? You actually have to provide some historical evidence, not just float a theory and get everybody all paranoid. You're doing what you're doing what the 9/11 conspiracy theorists do, causing excitement without any evidence to back it up. And, well, as I said before, it's hysterical behavior, and you should know better. Good night.
Saved. Next saved message.
Hi, Bill. Last week you mentioned Amy Goodman and the fact that there's a conspiracy theorist on the board of the Pacifico organization. And I think, in a sense, that that's similar to what you were saying about the neo-Nazis having a seat in Germany. The nut on the board in Pacifica is outnumbered by a lot of other board members who are going to vote the nut down, hopefully. The neo-Nazis are one seat among many, many, many parties, and perhaps the presence of those many, many parties should be a sign for optimism instead of negativity. And perhaps you might want to change your attitude from negative to positive. Thank you. Bye.
Saved.
Hi, Bill. I just wanted to know that there is something that you should really check out in the archives.
Next saved message.
And just to make sure you know and understand what I'm talking about, explain.
Saved. Next saved message.
Hi, Bill. I am...
Saved. Next saved message.
Hi, Bill Weinberg.
Saved. Next saved message.
I'm going to delete...
Hi, Bill.
Saved. Next saved message.
Hi. Since George W. Bush was happy to exploit the horror and tragedy of 9/11 for his... for dubious political ends, like the war in Iraq, and he's a Protestant, why is it impossible to imagine that Jews would exploit the horror of the Holocaust to scare Jews into supporting Zionist aspirations in Israel? I don't see why that's a racist thing to say. Protestants happily exploited 9/11 for the war in Iraq, and Jews are not exempt from exploiting and scaring people for their own dubious political ends. I don't see why that was a racist thing for me to say. I think that also that the one of the reasons that neo-Nazis find it so attractive is because, well, to be honest with you, Zionists have been, you know, exploiting the Holocaust for years and years and making the Nazis seem demonic. I think Hannah Arendt's banality of evil is true. Nazis weren't demonic, they were banal. The evil came about through the banal reasons. When you make Nazis demonic and scary and terrifying, then you make them glamorous. And that's why neo-Nazi parties rise, because they find them glamorous and young, stupid, angry young white people respond to that. So, you know, I suppose you can put the label of blaming the victim on this, but it is partly the fault of people who have exploited the Holocaust in unfair and nasty ways. Check out Finkelstein and his Holocaust industry book. Check out anything Noam Chomsky says about it. All right, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye indeed. Well, okay. Bye-bye indeed. I'll tell you what. Why don't we go back to the archive and actually give a listen to what it was that I said. Because I do believe that the caller was not listening. It's about listening, right? Let's see. Well, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, but there's a certain hysteria involved in the way you're talking. I went to see my nephew. My brother-in-law happens to be Jewish, and I was and my brother lives with them. And I was helping fix his car, and I left some tin cans that I've been cutting up on the bottom of the driveway. My brother-in-law came by and saw that the scraps of the tin cans on the driveway, and he freaked out because he said, "Oh, I thought it was anti-Semites who had thrown something on my driveway to puncture my tires," and this sort of like surprised me. And I'm sort of like listening to you freaking out about the Berlin Wall.
All right, well, hang on a minute. Hang on. I think the immediate question is whether your Jewish relative has, in the past, suffered anti-Semitic attacks. That's the relevant question.
Well, I rather suspect
or harassment or comments or anything like that.
I think it's more likely, since I grew up in the same neighborhood as he did, that he suffered from being educated by a Zionist sort of reminding.
So I'm not interested, okay? Not interested. You know, this whole notion that anti-Semitism is just this, you know, conspiracy which was invented by Zionists to justify their atrocities in Palestine doesn't wash with me. I'm terribly sorry. If you aren't disturbed about the news clips which I just read, then you're not paranoid enough. Get more paranoid. WBAI, you're on the air. Okay, so if one goes back and listens to the archive, listen to what I actually said, I certainly did not even remotely imply that it isn't possible for Jewish propagandists to exploit the Holocaust. In fact, on the contrary, I implicitly acknowledge that they do, right? I merely said that this does not mean that anti-Semitism doesn't exist or isn't a threat. So why don't you try listening to what I said rather than giving me a knee-jerk response? And the notion that anti-Semitism exists because Zionist propagandists exploit it is a rather perverse one, I would say, at a minimum. To some of the other things which we heard on my voicemail there, well, there was the guy who says that I'm sounding just like a 9/11 conspiracist because I'm not giving any further evidence and that they're, you know, just all a coincidence that everything happens on that so many things happened on November 9th and the days immediately surrounding it, the 1918 armistice, Kristallnacht, and the Berlin Wall coming down. And then in 1999, the sentencing of Egon Krenz. Well, you know, I acknowledged, I said that I did not consider it to be a conspiracy. Once again, we could go back to the archive And actually, listen to what I said. I said I did not consider it to be a conspiracy, but it's something which is merely food for thought. And one wonders, well, in the case of Egon Krenz, the, you know, East German dictator, former East German dictator who instated the policy of shooting those who tried to go over the wall in the 1960s, him being sentenced on that day in 1999, the same day that the wall came down, well, that probably was not a coincidence, okay? That was probably a very conscious political decision. Now, the seeming coincidence of the Berlin Wall coming down on the precise anniversary of Kristallnacht, well, once again, I acknowledge that, you know, I did not consider it to be a conspiracy. That's the least likely hypothesis. But I thought that perhaps I put forth the notion that perhaps there was some kind of deep historical memory stirring in the German consciousness, collective unconscious, if you will, which might have, you know, just as much to do with the 1918 armistice, actually, as with Kristallnacht. But the fact that Kristallnacht happened on the same day as the 1918 armistice and the seeming humiliation of Germany after the First World War makes it a part of that same historical, cycle, which was put in motion after 1918. So, okay. And then we had, the guy who was, downplaying the notion of, downplaying the threat that because the neo-Nazi party, the NDP, has got seats in the federal parliament, or has one seat in the federal parliament in Germany now, that, you know, we shouldn't be concerned about this because it's actually, you know, this groovy multi-party system, and maybe that's a good thing. Well, you know, I mean, sure, but except, back in, people were saying exactly the same thing in the early 1930s. Right? That, it's this groovy multi-party system in Germany, and don't worry, they've only got a couple of seats. People were saying exactly the same thing in the early 1930s, and look what happened. So, I don't feel that I'm being alarmist. What about you? Why don't we take a plunge into the unknown and take listener phone calls in the remaining 20 minutes, if anybody has anything to say? 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. How do you like that? Nobody's calling. Well, I guess people are trying to vindicate the notion that I'm just being paranoid. Or either that, or you're all intimidated. 212-209-2900. All right, we got a couple of calls. Should we see who it is? I'm taking a zero tolerance attitude towards the usual suspects tonight. All right, so if you're one of the usual suspects, go away, not interested. WBAI, you're on the air. Please speak up.
Hello.
Hello.
You hear me okay?
Yep.
I think you've been irrational.
Okay. Elaborate.
The Western rational position is one of identity and free will. Free will being non-compulsive behavior, obsessive-compulsive behavior. Now, the question was originally, who am I, what am I? And this was resolved by Descartes in the 16th century, with cogito ergo sum. Descartes was saying, I am pure logic. That's his identity. He goes on to prove the existence of God logically, and there resolve the problem ultimately of the relationship between thought and action. I have an idea of God. I have an idea of perfection, since God is perfection.
What has all this to do with what we're talking about?
Non-compulsive, irrational behavior, thinking. Finite thinking is circular and...
I would like to hear an actual critique of my arguments. Rather than getting a lecture about Western logic, why don't you...
Any identity with a group or any phenomena is, according to the rational philosophy of the West, irrational.
Oh? Any identity with a group is irrational.
Any phenomena. In a group phenomena, which comes to conditioning, and there we have to go to the operant conditioning, Pavlov. If you remember, I went to an American school, and I rejected all that early conditioning, right?
Well,
every time they tell me to salute the flag, I would fart, in the back of the room.
Okay, but that's also conditioning. Okay, that's also conditioning. If every time they tell you to salute the flag, you pass wind, that's also conditioning. You know, I mean, you've been conditioned to have a negative reaction rather than a positive reaction, but you've still been conditioned. We're going to move on. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio and speak up.
What was that listener talking about?
I have no idea.
Absolutely, made absolutely no logical sense.
Okay, do you have anything to say?
What?
Do you have anything to say?
Well, I want to say, I tried getting on last week about the fundraising drive.
But that's not what we're talking about.
I know.
WBAI, you're on the air. Another point that I want to make is that we're not talking about anything that you heard on any other radio show here on WBAI, okay? We're not talking about that tonight, not going there. We're talking about the ideas which, you know, I've put forth for discussion. Not talking about anything you've heard on any other show on BAI. If you have issues with anything you've heard on any other show on BAI, take it up with that producer, not me. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Yes, your question was, why are you, meaning us, obsessed with the Jewish question? First of all, I will disclaim being part of this U, because I personally do not feel that I am obsessed with this Jewish question, even though I have some Jewish ancestry and I lived most of my life in a Jewish community, or mainly Jewish community. Why is there in the general population an obsession? Is that, or in the BAI audience, WBAI audience, a general obsession? Is that your question?
Go ahead.
That's a rhetorical question, I guess. And I suppose you
Why don't you give? No, I don't have the answer. If I had the answer, I wouldn't be taking phone calls. Go ahead and give me your thoughts.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't have the complete answer. I mean, there are the obvious answers that the state of Israel is in a strategic part of the world as far as geopolitically with in terms of oil. There's the perception that the Jewish community, there's the perception that the Jewish lobby has undue influence in, some people believe undue, but generally there's a perception that there is great influence.
That's sort of begging the question, but go ahead.
Well, begging the question in the sense that there's a perception.
It's like saying, why are people obsessed with the Jews? Because they're obsessed with the Jews. But go ahead.
I believe anti-Semitism is a real thing. So I'd like to hear why there is this obsession in the population.
I'd rather hear what the callers have to say on the question.
Okay. Those are the only things that I believe.
Thank you. All right. Well, certainly. All right. If I may just briefly point out, yes, the state of Israel, not only is it, obviously it's Jerusalem is the big holy city for the three Abrahamic faiths. There's a hell of a lot more Jews in New York City than there are Macha Genga Indians. As for the oil, yes, proximity to the world's most strategic sources of oil, but there's also a lot of oil in the Amazon. That's what the whole struggle in the Amazon is about, and nobody seems to have big, strong feelings about that, quite evidently. WBAI, you're on the air. You're on the air. Please turn down the radio and speak up.
Hi. Hi. As for the question as why people are obsessed or respond to it, I guess it's because the indigenous people you were talking about in the Amazon, well, we don't know them. They're not, as you say, out of sight, out of mind, but far away. I guess since we're all denizens of New York, I know I grew up, half my friends were Jewish, half the girls I fell in love with were Jewish. They're our next door neighbors, so I think it's more of a concern when your friends and neighbors and girlfriends are, involved in a question or concerned about something than if somebody in the Amazon.
Okay, yes, I acknowledge this. Okay, there's 3 million Jews in New York City, and this is New York City. On the other hand, it's not merely a question of the obsession, but it's a question of, why is it in leftist discourse, or ostensibly leftist discourse these days, anti-Semitism is the only form of ethnic prejudice in which, you talk about it and it's acceptable for people to say, oh, you're just being paranoid, it's just propaganda. The only form. Okay?
I'm not sure about this, but I may float a possible answer. My leftyism is basically formed by lefty Jews on BAI. I mean, and they are basically unconcerned they are concerned with other people, not with themselves. I guess it would be considered selfish or inward looking, or to be concerned about what's wrong, people maltreating the Jews, instead of being progressively looking outwards and being concerned with other people. And that's, well, the concerns of progressive intellectual Jews are my concerns by training, even though I am not Jewish.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio, please, and speak up.
I had the final solution. Palestinian Judenrat.
Yeah.
I had the final solution.
WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio and speak up.
Señor Cabeciduro, Nanko Eid.
212-209-2900. 212-209-2900, because I'm not going to scratch the bottom of the barrel, okay? I'll just go back to playing more music if people aren't going to call in. Amazing that the board was just like lit up like a Christmas tree last time, and today, you know, we're already scraping the dregs from the bottom of the barrel. So I guess I've got you all intimidated, which, I don't know. I guess better that than the alternative. You're on the air. Turn down the... No. This is like bottom of the barrels. Bottom of the barrel. You know what? I guess we're just going to play more music. You know, I assumed that the board was going to light up again if I actually gave you all the opportunity to call back. But I guess I was wrong. So, unfortunately, I wish I had brought more music. Last week I brought all this great music and everybody tried to call in. And, this week I didn't bring so much great music, just a little bit of the Plastic People of the Universe and other thematically appropriate songs. Nobody tries to call in. We're just, let's see. If a few more people now. Let's see if it's bottom of the barrel dregs. Because I'm not tolerating any dregs tonight. No dregs. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, the public has a short memory. You keep doing what you do, broadcasting about what goes on, because, I don't know, people just, I guess, don't want to know, but you keep broadcasting what the other media don't broadcast, because the public have a short memory. That's what I got to say.
Well, thank you. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, I checked out a documentary from the New York Public Library. And the documentary was, I guess, pro-Israeli, pro-Zionist. And I learned from the documentary that the term Semite was coined in 1870 by this guy named Wilhelm Meyer. But he was one of the people that was part of the theory of the races.
Yes, this is all correct so far.
Well, I'm wondering why you would adopt a word for oneself, like the word Semite, if you knew that the person who coined it is someone who is racist against your people.
Well, precisely because, exactly for that reason. I mean, it's the anti-Semites coined the phrase, and particularly Wilhelm Mars in the 1870s, as you correctly point out. You know, they coined the phrase to describe their own ideology, okay? So, if somebody's going to call themselves Nazis, then that's what I'm going to call them. I'm going to call them Nazis. If somebody calls themselves Zionists, then that's what I'm going to call them. I'm going to call them Zionists. If somebody calls them Republicans, Democrats, then that's what I'm going to call them. There's no reason to use any other phrase. People, coin terms for their political ideology, and other people adopt those terms which they have appointed to describe their own political ideology. So I fail to see what the problem is. WBAI, you're on the air.
I believe there is paranoia. Remember two men got shot, Jewish men got shot in L.A. about a couple of weeks ago by a synagogue? And I listened to some Jewish programs on Down the Dial, and the rabbi is saying, don't forget, our insurance policy is emigrating to Israel. You got this Rabashkin character, convicted in Iowa with the kosher slaughtering plant, 8,400 illegal aliens. And again, the man says, oh, they're picking on the Jews. The guy committed a fraud. He's employed.
Okay, but why is this relevant? Okay, I mean, the fact that people are going to, cynically exploit Hang on a minute. Can I talk? Okay, it's about having a conversation. The fact that people are going to cynically exploit anti-Semitism, just like people are going to cynically exploit any phenomenon, which it's in their propagandistic interest to exploit, how does this mean that anti-Semitism doesn't exist, isn't a threat, isn't something for me to be concerned about? I'm just paranoid if I'm concerned about it.
We're talking about the United States, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm way out.
Well, actually, we're not talking about the United States.
Right.
We were talking about Europe tonight. Go ahead.
This rabbi has been broadcasting 30 years. I believe he believes everything he says, and the audience that calls in are worse than him. You know, I mean, he doesn't take phone calls if you don't believe that.
I don't know who you're talking about.
It's on SNR, Sporting, no, 620. It used to be Sporting News Radio. 620, right? You have MCA, and then you have 620.
Why are you bringing this up? What is the relevance
of
this?
Because you're saying that people are exploiting anti-Semitism, and I'm saying that this rabbi here isn't exploiting it. He believes that if two Jews are attacked at a synagogue, it's time to get your rifles and train to protect the synagogue. I mean, these are very...
Well, hang on a minute. Why shouldn't there be some kind of response? I'm not saying an armed response, if there is an attack on a synagogue. You know? And what happened at the Holocaust Museum earlier this year, if you want to talk about the United States? WBAI, you're on the air.
Bill?
Yeah?
Hi. Well... I don't know that much about the philosophy of anti-Semitism, but I am very familiar with my work with kids from about 18 to about 30 in Eastern and Central Europe, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Hungary, and Poland, because it's an area that we invest in very heavily. And I think this might be relevant. I saw the same thing in Germany about 10, 15 years ago, where there's a tremendous amount of anti-Turkish feeling. You're familiar with that?
I certainly am,
yeah,
of course.
Of course.
That's
okay.
Why I was playing the Turkish music last week,
yeah,
if you recall.
Okay. And if we can just put aside the sort of left-wing, right-wing axis or continuum, because I personally think that somehow Israel went from being a kibbutzim, left-of-center country, and now it's basically a fascistic, pro-Zionist, right-wing country.
Well, hang on a minute.
Even
when it had a more socialist economy, it was still equally Zionist.
Yeah. But now the orientation of the government is really quite right-wing.
Well, yes, but the whole world has shifted to the right in the intervening years.
Okay? Let me make the point. If we could put the left-wing, right-wing axis
yes,
aside for
yes,
a moment,
yes,
okay?
Yes, yes.
I think a different axis that I would like to propose that we look at, just for a moment, is...
Let me make the point, please,
is the big we versus the big other. And what you have in Germany when the Turks started coming in was tremendous fear of the other.
Quite obviously.
In Hungary, it was what you call the Romani, the gypsies.
Yes, quite obviously.
In the Czech Republic, after the wall came down, people who were in the bureaucracy, the children of those people, really lost out tremendously. And they have had... not only gypsies, but they've had a lot of Poles come into the Czech Republic, and all of a sudden, that's their other. So instead of having a big we, they have an accretion of big other.
Yes.
And that's where... So these people, they may run around wearing Nazi insignia. When you talk to them, they know nothing about Nazis.
Well, why are they wearing the insignia of SS battalions if they know nothing about Nazis?
For the same reason that if you go down to the East Village, you see punk rockers wearing all...
Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, what about the news clip which I just referred to about the neo-Nazis who were on trial in the Czech Republic for plotting terrorist attacks, and it seems that an active-duty Czech army officer was giving them paramilitary training.
Absolutely. That doesn't surprise me at all. But I don't.
And yet you're dismissing the SS insignia as mere hooliganism, and I'm just a paranoid Jew.
No. What I'm saying is, I don't think if you were, because I've talked to people in their 20s at great length about this. They really have very little knowledge
about...
Look, these guys weren't just wearing swastikas. They were wearing the insignia of SS battalions. This shows a greater degree of sophistication. We're going to move on. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio and speak up.
Hi, Bill. Just to elaborate on something some other callers were saying about why cynical exploitation might have an effect on whether people take real and anti-Semitism seriously. It's just simply the boy that cried wolf scenario, you know. If there's a lot of cynical exploitation, then it actually devalues the real sinister problems if that exist.
I agree with that, but I don't think it's the whole explanation.
I think I had another point. Oh, yeah. It's just that I did know a kid in high school that I still know, actually. And he admitted to me recently that once he ran around our neighborhood with another kid and they had fun painting swastikas on people's car windows, and it actually got into it got into the newspaper. And I happen to know this kid isn't part of any neo-Nazi organization, and he thinks he admits he was a jerk back then when he was 12 years old. But,
well, good. Glad to hear that. That's comforting.
All right. All right. I thought you meant...
But it's not quite the same thing. Look, I did a lot of dumb things when I was a kid, too, okay? But it's not quite the same thing as being, you know, a soldier on active duty in Afghanistan, an occupied country, and wearing not merely swastikas, but the insignias of SS divisions on your helmet the entire time that you're in, on your tour of duty. Not quite analogous. WBAI, you're on the air. No, you're not. WBAI, you're on the air. And the caller who called in, you know, I'm curious. I'm sorry that I didn't follow through with you, who objected to use of the term anti-Semitism because it was invented by anti-Semites. What term do you suggest? Call back if you have a moment. We have 5 minutes left. 212-209-2900. What term do you suggest? Which would be more appropriate? You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Okay. Well, actually, quite angst-ridden, in fact. But go ahead.
I think the main concern here is I think there's a distraction to concentrate on the anti-Semitism, which is very real, coming from the right. And I think the real anti-Semitism is coming from the left. And what I was very disturbed about...
Okay,
left,
why?
Well, have you been listening to what premiums are being offered on this radio station?
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, you heard me rant about that during the fun drive.
And bless you, because you're, I think, the only one. Good for you. But
I argue, you know, anti-Semitism is inherently a right-wing phenomenon. And just because it's coming from ostensibly left-wing sources doesn't make it left-wing. Okay, a left analysis is based on an understanding of class relations and power relations and wanting systemic social change, as opposed to isolating the contaminating, you know, contagions who are pulling the conspiratorial strings. Okay, that is a fascistic analysis, which goes straight back to the protocols of the Elders of Zion. So just because you're hearing it from the left, or ostensibly left-wing sources such as WBAI, doesn't make it left-wing anti-Semitism. I would argue, in fact, that there is no such thing as left-wing anti-Semitism. Just because it's coming from the left doesn't make it left-wing. It's right-wing anti-Semitism, which has unfortunately sometimes been adopted by people who think that they're on the left because they have a poor sense of history and poor understanding of political economy.
That is incredibly convoluted, and I don't think it's true. I think there is such a thing as left-wing anti-Semitism. In fact,
okay, why? 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 Why?
Because that's what's in vogue right now, and it's usually directed at Israel, or it's directed
That doesn't make it left. I mean, it's an objectively right-wing ideology, which has unfortunately been adopted by elements of the quote-unquote left. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more call. WBAI, you're... No, get lost. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay, please, bear with me a moment, okay?
Well, we don't have much time, so make it quick.
Okay, never mind.
No, go ahead! I didn't cut you off. WBAI, you're on the air.
The neo-fascists are invading the bourgeois upper left side.
WBAI, you're on the air. Caller, call back. We've actually got 2 minutes. If you can make your point in 2 minutes, you can make your point. 212 209-2900. 212-209-2900. You know what? We're pretty much down to the dregs here. 212-209-2900. Now we've got less than 2 minutes. Are you there? WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio. Turn down your radio.
I did. All right. I did.
Well, make your point.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism talk, and I don't think that that's too much true. I just think that the history shows that Israel is like, you know, just they have the power behind with the United States, and they're just taking the land from the Palestinians. And I believe that it's like cowboys and Indians. And if we don't, like, stand up and do something.
All right, well, hang on a minute. You're saying a bunch of different things. First of all, I never disputed the justice of the Palestinian cause. I never disputed the cowboy and Indian element of what's going on the West Bank. I'm in complete agreement with you on that. But it's rather irrelevant to what we're, well, I shouldn't say irrelevant, okay, but tangential to what we're discussing tonight. And I'm not quite sure I see what you mean by Israel has got the power with the United States, if I heard you correctly. Do you care to elaborate on that point?
All right, that point is meaning that the United States keeps giving them a lot of money and is not really trying to slow them down, but, like, continuing to build settlements. You know what I'm saying?
They yes, I agree with you. Absolutely. And I've done plenty of programming about this in the past. If you're a longtime listener of this show, you'll know that. But I want to know what this has got to do with neo-Nazis planning terrorist attacks in the Czech Republic and painting swastikas on the wall of the Dresden Synagogue on the eve of Kristallnacht commemoration.
All right, well, I would like to say that that's terrible, that these people are still out there doing this, and I would like to say that the knowledge that us true people have...
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.